Hey Dara, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's been so long that we have been planning this podcast, and finally
True.
we've gotten around to do it. So there's so much I want to talk about with you. I don't even know where to begin. So tell me about where you were born and where you grew up and how you started learning Chinese.
I was born in eastern part of Tibet, Amto, and then at the age of 2, I moved to Lhasa, the capital city of Tibet, and I did my schooling till 6th grade. At the age of 11, I again moved to India, and I start. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible,
Okay.
yes.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. And I joined the Upper TCV, which is a Tibetan children's village. I went to till my 9th grade. Right after that, I took an exam and I was able to do my further study, like bachelor in Chinese language and literature.
Hold on. After your 9th grade, you started your bachelor's.
Yeah, that seems like strange, but yeah,
So you're like a child genius, essentially.
Not really,
You
but I
skipped
just
three
grab on
grades.
the chance. Yeah, I just
Wow.
grab on the chance. Yeah. I was selected in that institution, and then I joined
Where was this?
in the year of 2012. I joined the Dalai Lama Institute in Bangalore, which is a Tibetan college, exiled Tibetan college. Yeah. Based in Bangalore, South India.
Wow. That is just craziness.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, that completely blows my mind.
I think my schooling history is so strange to from others, due to a different, I think a different path or something. I would call it as a fortune. Yeah, it's just like a fortune that came to me in the year of 2012. Just like I grab on it. Yeah.
That's interesting. And you were living, because you were, I mean, as a ref, is it common for people to come to India as refugees without their parents?
Yeah, we were forced to leave our own country, in some way.
And so it must be really difficult to, focus on your academics while your parents are not even around.
That depends. I would say yeah, mostly yeah, true. True. Because you are leaving your own countries, your own families back in the Tibet, and you are, taking a journey by yourself without having a backbone.
Well, and you still managed to accomplish really cool things, and that's
I know.
amazing.
I think it's normal for exiled Tibetans because there are many of them just like me, who came out of their own home family and just bump into new society, new environment, and adjusting and adapting new cultures. The very good thing about that is that you can find so many like-minded peoples or the people that share same backgrounds. So you don't really feel the lonely or loneliness.
So there's almost like there's a support system of people who are sharing the same, who have gone through the same things and sharing sort of similar experiences. So you don't feel like you're alone in it. All right. And you also spoke Chinese when you were in Lhasa?
Yeah, I went to a bilingual school. So that means I learned my own native language. I also got a chance to learn Chinese and English as well.
So when obviously at home you spoke Tibetan, but when you went to school you were taught in Chinese as well as in English, or you were taught the language English and the subjects were taught in Chinese, or how did that work?
I used to speak my own dialect, on the dialect with my own family, and I do speak the standard Tibetan with my
The
own
Lhasa dialect.
my peer group. And with teachers like my Chinese teacher, we probably know. We do speak in English.
No, I mean that when you were in school in Lhasa, did you learn the subjects? Did you learn math and science and
Of course, yeah.
you learned it in Chinese or English?
In Chinese. So
Okay.
our medium learning medium is in Chinese as well.
Okay. And you were taught the language English in addition to that.
True.
Okay. Okay. And so you studied, I mean, of course, you grew up speaking Chinese, and so obviously you have a good hold on that. But then you came here, and did you also study Tibetan formally, or was it taught to you in school, or later on? Do you have any formal education to formal exposure to it?
Of course, why not? I was taught in my own native language right on the first day when I joined the school back in Tibet. So my school is under one of the autonomous government school. Typical my schools, there are lots of lots of, I would say, different schools has their own different standard. Likewise, my school is mostly spoken in Tibetan, and we are taught like Tibetan language, English language, Chinese language as well. And besides, we do learn science, math, sociology, and physical training, so
No,
even
so w when
computer.
the medium of education is in Chinese and not in Tibetan, right? But you were also taught Tibetan?
Yeah, of course, yeah, we did.
Okay, so you had an exposure to the grammar and the literature and the poetry of Tibet. Okay. Okay.
The
And
only thing is we were not taught the Tibetan history, Tibetan culture, Tibetan, ancestors, the relate on the politics, and these things are not taught back in the Tibet, but
okay.
elsewhere taught, like the grammars, the stories, and
So when you came to India, obviously you did your schooling, and then you joined a bachelor's degree in Chinese, and then what did you do? You started, you, and then after you graduated, you started teaching.
After that, I went to a recruitment organized by Central Tibetan Administration based in exile for around 5 months. When I completed this course, I volunteered in DIR, Department of International Relations. The department that based in CDA, in CDA.
And of course, your expertise, your knowledge of Chinese must have come in handy.
The first month I joined as a translator in Chinese section.
Oh, okay.
The second month I worked as a newsreader in Tibet TV,
Oh,
which
okay.
is in Tibetan language. So I have to read the news in Tibetan language.
Okay.
I did my 3 months volunteering job in CDA. Thereafter, I joined Novolinka Institute, based in Dharamsala, and I start my job as a teacher, Chinese teacher.
So that's where you were. This is, of course, 4-year college course where students are studying for a degree in Chinese?
No, they are majoring in Tibetan language and literature.
Okay.
Chinese language and English language are minor subject. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you teach you taught Chinese there for 2 years.
Yeah, I just resigned recently.
Oh, okay. What is your next adventure?
I'm not really having a clear picture, but let's see.
Uh-huh. So I want to get more into sort of the roots of Tibetan and Chinese, and I want you to tell me if they are similar languages, or where, like, what family of languages they come from, or, you know, what similarity or differences do they have?
Yeah, sure. Tibetan language and Chinese language are come from same language family, of course, but mm-hmm. they are different because Tibetan language are derived from Indic, like Burman, Indic Burman script. So mm-hmm. it has a more similarity to Indian rather than Chinese. Yeah, Chinese language is based on more like symbolic. It's a symbolic language mm-hmm. and as well as a tonal language. Mm-hmm.
But you say they come from the same family of languages?
Yeah, they came from the same language family, but they are different. Language family, may consist of other languages as well, but they're not sharing the similarity. Mm-hmm. When
so
it comes to the deeper sense, yeah.
So, no, you say that they, so when you say they come from the same language family, but Tibetan is closer to the Indic languages.
Chinese language and Tibetan language are from same language family. That's a Sino-Tibetan language, but they don't really language borrowing is essential in language, the process of language developments, mm-hmm. and it is like a phenomenal, or it's an inevitable result of the
sort of geographical proximity.
Yeah, true. Based on the history. Yeah, it's that when you hear the history that Songtsen Gampo sent a person to India to learn Hindi and Indian script.
Okay.
Because back then, we Tibetan have a spoken language, but we don't have written language. So he studied in India, and he, you know, he create a written form of Tibetan language.
All right, so the spoken form is more similar to the Sino-Tibetan family of languages, but the written
mm-hmm.
form comes from the...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, coming to language learning, why do your students mm-hmm. want to learn Chinese? Why is it compulsory for them to minor in Chinese, or is mm-hmm. it something that they choose or opt for?
They are also given the choice of withdrawing from learning Chinese. They can also opt for English as well. But my students,
so it's compulsory to study either one of Chinese or English.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and your students study or both. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, they're making the choice to also study Chinese rather than just study English.
Yeah. Most of them,
okay,
they chose to learn the both languages. I mean, learning a new language is always fun. It's just a plus point. Why not to learn when you are given such a golden opportunity?
Yeah.
So your question is, what made them learn in Chinese language, right?
Yeah.
Mm. I think you know, there's a rapid expansion learning in Chinese worldwide.
Okay.
And even in our small community based in Excel,
mm-hmm.
For Tibetan as a refugee, mm-hmm. Learning Chinese language is not only for the person again. It's also for a better cause. Like, we are forced to leave our country because the brutal occupation from CCP or regime from CCP. So we're not using the violent. Our guru, the Dalai Lama, he always repressed the Tibetans to use the speech to have peaceful dialogue between Chinese.
So you're not using that, violence for protest.
Yeah, for that we need to learn the other the counterpart's language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have like better communication, better dialogue.
So it's a political, so it's also, it's not just, oh, career opportunities, or it's fun to learn a new language. It's because it's a matter of your own political freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For Tibetans. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so important because that's so much more, I mean, that gives you so much more of a drive than, oh, yeah, it looks good on my resume.
Yeah. Being that said, it's also not really just simply learning the Chinese language as well. You really have to, be interested in their own history as well. And knowing the culture. Because we are sharing the same language family. So, of course, we are having, language contact between Tibetans and Chinese. Mm-hmm. So, once you have the awareness of the differences between the histories and you have more points to validate your own stand.
I understand.
Yeah.
Coming down to sort of the when students start learning Chinese, are these people who've had prior exposure to Chinese, or do you also get some students who are, completely fresh to Chinese and they don't have much of a context?
I would say 50-50. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the students who are completely new, say, especially students who are not, even who are not Tibetan or Western or Indian students, what is the biggest thing that throws them off, or the biggest challenge that they face when they start learning Chinese?
I think the pronunciation and intonation as well. Because Chinese language is a tonal language. And the tones are pretty tricky when you don't give them more clear attention. So they tend to mix up the tones into tones. That's for me, it's just a funny thing, but for them it's like always confusing. Even though they've been learning 2 or 3 months, they're still in a confusion with the tones. Yeah. Okay, there are 5 tones in Chinese. The first one goes straight but in a longer length. The second one is a exclamation or the third one is and the fourth one is in written form there's also the fifth tones which is neutral. That means it's similar to the first one but shorter than first one, just
So there's tones. One neutral tone, there's one neutral tone, and there's the four additional tones, right? So there's if you say ma, and then you say, I would say the short exclamation would be ma, and the sort ma, and the sort of longer one would be ma. No.
Yeah, sort of.
No. Tell me the correct one. Correct.
The thing is, for now, what you sounded are more like not so differentiable. It's more more of like it's sort of similar to me when I hear certain tones. Yeah, but the thing is, you have to know that where your pitches are, when you sounding a certain tones, like you have to extend longer as much. Second one,
I would say ma, right?
Ma, okay. Ma.
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 Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This
ma.
Is the first tone. Yeah, this is the first tone.
Mm.
The second
mm-hmm.
tone goes like ma.
Ma.
No, ma.
Ma. Ma.
Ma. Shorter
ma.
But stronger. Ma.
Ma.
Mm,
ma.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Mm.
So there's ma and ma.
Ma. Yeah, the second
okay.
ma. Third one
mm.
goes ma.
Ma.
Uh-huh, yeah. Ma.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Ma.
Yeah. The fourth one goes ma.
Ma.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ma.
Mm.
Ma. Ma.
Mm-hmm.
ma. No.
Okay, you are not so... Okay, the second and the fourth are not so clear, I would say.
Okay,
mm.
so I would say the first one would be ma.
Mm-mm.
No?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
The second would be ma.
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 Mm-hmm. Ma.
Okay. And the third one would
you
be
have to rise.
Ma.
You have to rise your tones. In English, the second tone is called rising tone. Hence, you have
mm-hmm.
to uplift your own inner pitch. Like ma.
Ma.
Oh, yeah.
Ma.
Correct. Mm.
Okay. So there's ma.
Mm.
There's ma.
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 Mm.
Okay, so it goes from slightly lower to slightly higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so there's ma. There's ma.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no.
ma.
Yeah,
okay.
The third one, absolutely, you got it so right.
Okay, but the second one?
The second one you have. Okay, just imagine we draw. Let's imagine we are drawing a diagram, you know.
Okay.
So there are different pitches, right? One,
mm-hmm.
two, three, four, five. Five is the highest. And another,
okay.
you have to draw another diagram. One, two, three, four, five, right? So connect
mm-hmm.
The first pitches goes to five to five. So connect the
okay.
Five to five. It goes, ah, that makes the first tone. The second
okay.
tones, when you pronounce the second tones, you just imagine that you are connecting the pitch level from the second from the left to
mm-hmm.
the fifth tones from the right. That makes
okay. So you're going from 2 to 5.
Yeah, 2 to 5.
So you're going So you're going ma.
Mm. Ma.
Okay. Ma.
Ma. You
ma.
Have to rise. No, rising tone. You have to yeah.
Ma.
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 Yeah. Mm.
Ma.
Mm.
Okay.
The third one, just imagine
ma.
From the left, you have to connect
uh-huh.
from the second to
mm-hmm.
the first one, the middle
okay.
point the first, and then
mm-hmm.
and then you have to rise to the fourth from the right side. So that makes
okay,
two,
so you're going
one,
from two to
four.
One to four.
Yeah.
Ma.
Ma, exactly.
Ma.
Mm. Ma.
Okay.
Ma.
Ma.
Mm.
Ma.
Mm. And then the last one makes, you have to connect the fifth from the left to the
mm-hmm.
one from the right. That makes.
So you're going from five to one. So.
Yeah.
Ma.
One. Ma.
Ma.
Ma. Yeah.
Ma.
Ma.
Mm. Ma.
You're correct.
Okay. Ma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the neutral one is just ma.
Ma, yeah.
It goes from one to one.
One to one, but very much shorter than the first tone.
Ma.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Wow. Do you think it's
it's funny.
it was nice. If I want to learn Chinese, do you think I need to learn the script, or do you think I can do without it just using pinyin?
Okay, the script, you mean the character of Chinese, right?
The characters, I'm sorry. Yeah, the characters, not the script.
If you want to be like conversational, I would say at least you will have to be taught what are the alphabets and what are the tones in that Chinese language have.
No, but I can use pinyin also, no, instead of that.
Sorry?
Can I not use pinyin?
Oh, I don't get you, sorry.
Pinyin is the notation where you, instead of writing it in
okay, you're saying pinyin. Romanization representation.
The romanization,
right?
Yes. Uh-huh, yes, yes. How do you say it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
How do you
even,
say it?
Even though if you want to just have in a conversational level of Chinese, you really have to go to learn the, you know, basic alphabet pinyin plus the tone, the four tones.
Okay. That I understand, because the tones change the meaning and everything. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. But I need, but I can do with pinyin. I can do just with the romanization without having to learn the Chinese characters.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when I was in class 1 and class 2, we were not taught the character as well. We were taught in pinyin, only in pinyin. So we write in romanization pinyin, and we put the tones above that, and we read, we make sentence likewise. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. What would you say is the biggest barrier that sort of holds people back when they're, or the biggest challenge that people face when they're starting out, but sort of, you know, somewhere, which, you know, sort of who start learning Chinese, but after, say, a few months, their learning just plateaus and, you know, they're not able to sort of push through. Have you also seen similar things happening with your students? What do you think is the reason for that?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think before you learn any languages, to determine if this language is right for you or not is an essential question for yourself. And
how do you mean that?
I mean, there are a lot of people that they say they want to learn new languages, but mostly they just drop it on halfway, you know.
Yeah,
they say, oh, I have been learning like 3 months and now I don't learn it. And then I ask them, why made you for that? And if so, why don't you just
So it's important to sort of get a sense of whether you really want to go through with it, and whether you're motivated enough.
If you are a linguist and you really want to master a certain language, I think environment is very important for any language learner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're around people who are speaking that language, do you mean immersion in that? Do you mean in that sense, or what do you mean?
Yeah, of course you have somebody to communicate in that language, and create your own environment to further development your basic language.
If someone is trying to learn Chinese by themselves in a through a self-study program, how would you recommend that they do it? How would you recommend that they go about it?
I would recommend them master the alphabetic. I would recommend them to master the alphabets for the first. And really,
alphabet, do you mean the romanization?
Yeah, romanization.
Chinese. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then go to the tones, the four different tones.
Okay.
And then really focus on the combination of the alphabets and try to pronounce in daily. And to learn the character is a second step. The first step is to really master the pinyin, the basic. The tones differences,
And then say once you've learned the tones and in and of themselves and also with other words, what would you do after that? Would you tell them to learn verb or
I think the
the grammar of it.
secondly, okay, I would recommend them to focus on vocabulary. In Chinese, the grammar is simpler, is easier than English and Tibetan. So you don't really have to, dive into the grammar, but just look and just get a sense of the sentence structure, and then move to the words. You know, there are like 25 to 34 hundreds basic the useful characters that people use in daily conversation, and then learn these. Yeah, and then you are able to speak languages.
Okay, so say I've learned the five tones, which I will practice later.
Okay.
And then, so say if I want to learn the structure of the Chinese language. So, for example, in English, I would say, I eat apples, or
Subject,
I like cake, right? So there's the subject, there's
Verb,
verb, and there's
object.
object,
Likewise
right?
in Chinese,
And
there's two. Yeah,
So it's the same subject, verb,
it's
object.
same.
Okay, and the adjectives, do they come before the noun or after the noun?
Adjective
So if I
would.
say I like red apples, but in say Spanish, I would say I like apples red.
No, it's like English. I like apple.
I like
Like
red apples.
I let's say I want to write it down. I like red apple, right? Okay, in Chinese we say 我, which is I, 喜欢, like, red, 红, 苹果, apple. So it's the same.
Okay. And then
我喜欢红苹果.
the way that the verbs conjugate, so for example in English I say I like, you like, they like, except for he, where you say, likes. It, in every other sort of form you just say like. But in
In
Chinese,
Chinese, they do not have this single or plural. No, they don't have.
okay, so you just have one form for all. Okay. And also, and how do verbs change in past and future tenses? How does that work?
Let's say if you
So
are
if I say
it,
I will eat a red apple, how would I say that?
我要. There are certain characters you have to add between to show the tenses. Yeah, let's say
Okay.
if you are making a future tense like I will eat an apple, so
Yes.
in Chinese goes like 我要, I will, 我要. Yao, that means want or will. Yeah.
Okay.
I will. 我要, I will. What's your sentence? Sorry. I
I will
will.
eat an apple. Eat an apple.
我要吃, eat. 一个 an apple. So, apple, sorry. I will eat an apple. So, 我要吃一个苹果. That means one. 苹果.
So what I'm doing essentially is I'm just adding this of the prefix yao to something that I want to do in the future. So I don't need to learn a different. So for example, in
Eat at no eaten. There's no different tenses in language. Yeah, you just have to add a
add the
certain
prefix. Makes
prefix
sense.
and suffix.
That's convenient. That's great. Because I'm not sure if about Tibetan, but in Hindi you have a completely different word for the future tense. And I mean,
Yeah,
in
true,
English
yeah.
also, I suppose, is a little similar to Chinese in that way, because suppose I say I will do something, right? I will eat, and you just add one word. But I mean, Spanish or French also, you it becomes a different word completely.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so now that I have some idea of the structure, okay, the next step I would do is focus on building my vocabulary. Would you recommend what kind of words should I start learning?
Pick up words or vocabularies. that are useful in daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's say,
no, but say, should I learn more verbs or prepositions or adjectives or nouns? How, like, how,
yeah, all
how
of
would
them,
you recommend?
All of them.
Okay.
Yeah, all of them. You have to, of course, you will have to learn all of them. And
but
slowly,
how, like, what would your strategy be? How, like, how would you, so how would I balance my time between them?
I would say, if I were you, let's say I'm a new learner,
yes.
I think I will go for simple vocabulary, like peach, right? Or let's say apricot. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a season.
Okay.
So I'll take an apricot as an example.
Uh-huh.
And then I today, let's say I learned the word, learned the vocabulary as an apricot.
Mm-hmm.
And then next day, I think I want to make a sentence.
Okay.
Like, I bought an apricot, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, the bought itself is a past tense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, 我买了. Yeah. Suffix.
Mm-hmm.
了 is a suffix that.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
past tense.
Yeah, that denotes the past tense.
Okay.
So, 我买了杏子, the apricot.
Which is apricot. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would say just I would take an object around me and then I would say, I would see what I can do with that. Like,
mm-hmm.
what are the different sentences
mm-hmm.
I can make with that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And say, once I have a certain level of vocabulary, how can I improve my conversation skills? So, a lot of people have reached that level where they can understand, where they know a decent amount of vocabulary, but they cannot understand Chinese when it's spoken by a native, or when they speak, maybe they do not feel very confident.
Mm-hmm. I think then you will have to make friends, you know, through online or virtually. You can make friends and try to create your own small environment, language environment for yourself. And if not, then I would recommend recording your own voice.
Okay.
You know, when you are reading or listening, you know, you can imitate somebody, say, imitate the sentence that somebody already said. Or you can just sing a certain song that you think you like. Or even, like, if you find your own voices, you know, good enough to hear, and then, of course, you can just, you know, like me, I like to record my own voice when I'm reciting a poem. So that's one of my tactics to improve my Chinese and English language.
So I would start. So say I'm learning a Chinese. So if I want to say, you know, improve my pronunciation, I would listen to someone say something in Chinese. Then I would record my own voice, and then I would compare how close or how different the two are.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And but you really have to get somebody that speaks Mandarin, right? Because Chinese itself has many dialects.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So when I say Chinese, I mean Mandarin Chinese specifically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you enjoy learning new languages? Is there a language that you want to pick up?
I do like learning new languages. And my teachers and my colleagues and even my families, they saying that I have tendency to pick up new languages pretty much faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have potential to pick up more languages than now.
So what's a language that you would like to? How many languages do you speak? You speak English, Tibetan Chinese, and
my own dialect, Tibetan Dalek. And the basic Hindi.
Okay.
And for now, I'm thinking to learn German.
Okay. Why? Mm-hmm. What excites you about learning German?
I don't know. I always have a curiosity on these languages, because when people speak, it sounds rude when you first hear that. Okay, that might seem like stereotype, but you know, when you really get into the person and you know, when you know a little bit of the culture and the, you know, daily basis conversation, and then you see, aha, okay, maybe that's the stereotype things, you know.
No, that's fascinating. I see that too. Because some languages, when you know, if you, the initial sound maybe sounds a little rough, but when you get into it, you start appreciating it more. That's so true. God, it was so much fun talking to you, Dawa. It was amazing. I think I learned so much,
and thank you.
It was great. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.